This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday.
When Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
And that is almost right. You are listening to the Victoria Police Community Hour, not the Vic Police Glow Show. New name, new sound. And in the studios, I'm Scott Davis and we've got Senior Constable Gabby Tyack.
The same old people.
New name, new sound.
We're all fresh.
Well, some of us aren't old. I'll tell you, I reject that outright.
Same amazing people.
Those voices that you've just heard are the amazing Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project and Joe Baird from Crime Stoppers Victoria. Welcome to both of you.
The gang's back together, apart from Paul Anthony. If we had him here, it would be all like the original days.
But stay tuned. Write it down your diary. May 17, International Day Against Homophobia. The day after the regular Glow Show, Paul Anthony joins us. And we're doing an Idaho special at 1 p.m.
Now, Gabby, what's coming up today?
Well, it's great we've got Jo here. She's going to give us the monthly stat roundup. We haven't had any this year at all.
What's a monthly stat roundup?
Well, she's going to talk about, in the previous month, how many crimes were solved in response to people calling into Crime Stoppers.
Ah, excellent.
That's very interesting.
Which is fantastic. I mean, when Jo reads out the numbers, it is quite amazing how much money and property have been located, how many drugs have been seized, how many offenders have been identified and charged. So it's quite interesting.
So it's the fruits of the work done. Every time people lift up the phone and ring Crime Stoppers, this is the outcome.
Indeed.
And you're listening to Victoria Police Community Hour. Right.
Last week, we attended the Crime Stoppers event, which was a thank you to all the partners and people who give money, I suppose donate money and keep Crime Stoppers up and going. And
hang on. Who was there?
We.
I don't think I was there.
Well, everyone here except you, Scott.
Okay.
You're now training people. Oh,
okay.
We forgot.
So suddenly moved on and you forget all about me.
Scott who?
Yeah,
maybe
that's
I shouldn't
right.
have said anything.
Hang on, I'm in control of the mics today. Hang on.
Okay. The reason why I brought that up is because last Monday, so 2 days ago, was the 30th anniversary. So 3 decades since the shocking murder of Jenny Rose Ng, N-G. While her 14-month-old daughter lay sleeping in the next room. So if you're older than 30, maybe if you're around 40, you might remember that murder. And Crime Stoppers is asking for your assistance because although we've received information about that and interviewed a number of people, we haven't been able to make an arrest and we need more information about that crime.
So with unsolved crime like this, what's the trigger that says, well, let's pull this unsolved case out? Why this particular case? I don't know, all cases need solving. This one's tragic and should be. Why this case?
I suppose this one is because they launched this on the 30th anniversary of the murder.
I think usually crimes are brought back into publicity for lots of different reasons. Mm. Either the investigator wants to have another crack at it, enough time passes to give, someone who's a witness enough time, I don't know, circumstances change and they might now be ready to come forward. So I don't think there's a hard, fast rule why they'd bring it up. I mean, a 30th anniversary is probably just a good trigger point.
Well, they had some successes. That memory woman from Ringwood ended up now going through a trial that's currently underway. So there are successes in terms of bringing up cold cases and revisiting. So this particular one, 30 years old.
I'll refresh your memory about what happened. Because I wasn't in Victoria then, and I don't remember it. But police were called to Ms. Ning's Elizabeth Street flat in Richmond on Friday the 23rd of April in 1982, after she was found dead by her two daughters, who were aged 7 and 9 at the time. And when they returned home from school about 12:30 p.m., they found her. So if you were in Richmond in 1982, if you can remember where you were, if you lived in the area or at that time of day, that morning you had a regular routine. Perhaps you might remember something, or something struck you at the time that you might remember. It is 30 years ago, but sometimes when things happen that are memorable, you might lock them away, but they eat away at you, and you are aware. And then this might bring back some memories.
It's true, isn't it? Because in your local patch, if you're a taxi driver and you do a regular route, or if you're just walking kids to school, something's out of the ordinary, it often sticks in your mind, doesn't it? Which is really why Crime Stoppers works.
Yeah, it is. And I actually read one of the news articles that was relating to this story, and they were saying that sometimes people think that they saw something back then and it's too old, they should have done something, but, you know, it's probably too late. Well, it's never too late if you've got information on a crime that's happened, or if you think you've seen something.
And the fact is that someone out there knows something about this, and they've been hanging on to it for 30 years, and it's time to speak up. And you can do it remaining anonymous and not identifying yourself. So in September 1982, the state government posted a $50,000 reward for information in relation to the crime. Where police ourselves are appealing for more information to help solve this terrible crime from 30 years ago.
Where can people go to get information to jog their memory?
I'll go onto the Crime Stoppers website. They will have some information on here. Just type in, which I think it would be on the main website on the front page, would it, Joe?
It's on crimestoppers.com.au. It's also on Vic Police News.
There's
a,
that's right.
And also, you can just do a search as well for Jenny Rose NG or Richmond Homicide. There's lots cropping up everywhere in the media at the moment, so easy Google search.
Real people, real topics. Joy 94.9.
That was my holiday special choice of song from Glee. That was Santana and Brittany with I Kissed a Girl. So I'm very pleased to have played that. And we've got everyone else on the show is going to play one of their special songs later on, so we've got some eclectic tastes in the room, apart from me.
The only thing that we've learned from that, though, is that we don't let Greg anywhere near the machinery.
It's one of those little Steve Jobs iPhone type things, which you really want to chuck out the window and replace with an Android.
Okay, over to Gabby again. We've got our first crime of the week.
At about 9:30 a.m. on the 19th of October last year, a man attended the N Ying Foreign Exchange on Whitehorse Road in Box Hill and waited while a staff member unlocked the door and turned off the alarm. He then followed the staff member into the store and allegedly produced a handgun. He threatened the staff member and demanded access to the foreign exchange teller area. When this was unsuccessful, he stole the staff member's handbag before fleeing along Whitehorse Road. The man's described as Caucasian, between 30 and 50 years old, about 185 centimetres tall, has a thin build, dark collar-length hair and a thin face. He was wearing a green hoodie and a green beanie, and we've released images of the man on the Crime Stoppers website that hopefully you can help us identify him.
So how can they see those images, Gabby?
Go on to crimestoppers.com.au. It's the crime of the week, so it will be on the front page once you click Victoria on the Australia map, and have a look at him. And look, you might not be able to recognise his face because it's covered with sunglasses and a hoodie, and he's got a beanie as well, but you can see part of his face, and the clothing's very distinguished.
There's three images there, and I think if you know the person, you'll look at the body language of the person, the stance, the way that he's holding his hands, the way he's using the bag that he's got there.
Well, you might see him at your local footy season starter. You might be down at your football club. That might be the stance he gets when he's aggressive or defensive. So you'll recognise some features about this.
And very few people commit crimes and don't tell anybody, so someone would know who he is because he's spoken about it.
So the reference number is CA6172 if you want to get across to crimestoppers.com.au to have a look at that.
And remember,
if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Now, you're on the Vic Police Close Show.
Police Community Hour,
yes,
Greg. We've changed
Gabby,
our name.
That's Gabby Tyke.
New name, new sound.
Northwest Glow. Scott Davis is that other voice. Out from Glen Waverley Police Academy, where Community Encounters takes place every
tomorrow.
Tomorrow with police recruits and Victoria Police Protective Service Officers.
Tomorrow is just police recruits, and there's 10 reappointees from across a range of different police services. We've got New Zealand, Tasmania, UK, and Victoria ex-police wanting to join or rejoin Victoria Police.
Yeah. Now, they're also called retreads. Now, how did they get the name retreads?
Well, I think it's fairly obvious, isn't it, just from the name?
I was a retread.
Ah, a retread from Canberra.
From New South Wales.
New South Wales.
Oh. Yeah. Reappointee.
So often those, it's really interesting, and from a community perspective, from the Anti-Violence Project, Scott, it's really interesting when we have people that that come back into the police force. And your perception, perhaps, of do they bring back some of the old culture around community, or is it a fresh slate?
My perception to that is that the vast majority of them don't. I think some of them leave because there's a whole variety of different reasons why people leave a policing service. But I think some of them leave because they haven't been happy with the way that a particular policing service was operating. And I find that when they come back in, they are immediately introduced to the new ways of thinking within Victoria Police, and they are really receptive to it. And the thing I really like about it is they show leadership in the room, because we put them into the room with the brand new recruits, and they start talking about, yes, this stuff that is being said to us is really important, and they start to say, because, and they give their own personal examples about when it hasn't worked for them in the past and how this new stance is going to work much better.
I think that's really a living example of change and how it happens. And I have to give you a pat on the back. First time I've had a chance to chat. I was going through Southern Cross Station a few weeks ago, and two brand new PSOs with a sergeant. And he happened to be having a discussion, and the sergeant asked what community encounters was when we talked about it. And the two PSOs...
They recognised you.
Recognised me from around the table at a community encounter session. Yeah. And when I left, they were really bright and bubbly and very happily educating the sergeant about what community encounters meant to them.
Yeah.
And I thought, what a victory in terms of training new recruits.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it?
So congratulations, Scott.
Now, we're going to listen to another song. This is Joy 94.9 and the Victoria Police Community Hour. And we've got another one of our crimes of the week.
We do, Scott. This relates to a burglary in Ringwood on the 21st of February 2012. So we're only looking at about 2 months ago. And between midday and 3:50pm on the 21st of February, a man allegedly gained entry to a residential address in Garden Street, Ringwood. That's my old patch. By jimmying a rear window. Once inside, the man ransacked several rooms and stole a number of items. He also jimmied open a safe and stole cash from within before leaving the premises via Great Ryrie Street, not Great Ryrie Road, but that's okay. He was carrying two suitcases and a pillowcase. The man is described as having a slim to muscular build, an olive complexion, and he has tattoos on both arms, and he was wearing a dark-coloured top with the word Curiosity, which is really quite starkly shown in the photos on the Crime Stoppers site. And they're written in white on the front, and a dark-coloured peak cap was on his head. Particular peak cap with sort of almost a squarish top to it. It's really easy to distinguish. Now, police have released the images of this man, and they believe he may be able to assist them with their inquiries. Now, I reckon, team, this is one that's worth people that live in the Ringwood area or go to Eastland, go from there to Mitcham and come backwards and forwards, or go to Lilydale and drop down to Eastland to do a bit of shopping. I check this man out. You're likely to have seen him, because he's striking facial features as well.
He looks a little bit like the situation from Jersey Shore.
I think that's a pretty good analogy.
He does.
Yeah. I just do not watch Jersey Shore. I
don't
understand
even know what
it.
You're talking about.
The cool people out there will know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
That's why all the people that live in Geelong and don't have anything to do after
dark. But Greg, we've talked before about you're able to take photos of people and upload them onto Crime Stoppers from your phone. So, you know, if someone's walking down the street with a suitcase and a pillowcase, it's a little bit suspicious to me, particularly the pillowcase. He's not Santa. It's not December. So, you know, that's something you can do. If you see someone a little bit suspicious, you can call 000 and get the police there, or you can take a photo of them. Don't let them see you doing it and upload it to Crime Stoppers, because if you've done that, maybe they can then link it to this sort of a crime.
Well, if you live in the Ringwood area and you have mates that work in 7-Elevens or any of the takeaway shops or even the supermarkets, or you go to the local servo and you're friends with the servo people, tell them about this. Get them to log on to Crime Stoppers and have a look at the image. Mm-hmm. He's either needed to go via the train, via public transport, or he gets petrol to use a car to get to and from the area. You'll track him down.
Can you give us a quick recap and the reference number?
It's a burglary in Ringwood on the 21st of February. At about 3:50pm, reference number is CA6117, and police are looking for a man with very distinctive facial feature. And in this image, he's wearing a Curiosity T-shirt and a hat. Very striking facial features.
And the number?
Is 1300.
No, the CA number?
CA6117, and you can check out Crime Stoppers on crimestoppers.com.au.
And remember,
we don't need to know who you are,
just who they are.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on the Victoria Police Community Hour and we've got the lovely Jo Baird from Crime Stoppers in. She's got some interesting things to tell us.
I certainly do, Gabby. Thank you for that. It's time again for our monthly roundup and we'll be looking at how Crime Stoppers went for March. We had lots of different information reports relating to lots of different crimes as usual, but we helped police solve investigations into drug cultivation, criminal damage, so including multiple graffiti crimes, burglary and theft, assault, possession of illegal weapons, and the list just goes on. There were at least 75 arrests for over 220 charges as a result of information. I say at least 75 arrests because a lot of the time it's quite hard for us to actually track down exactly how many arrests there were as a direct result, because sometimes callers give us really great information that adds to an investigation. So often that information can definitely give credit to...
It's like a jigsaw, isn't it?
It's like a jigsaw. Yeah. So it's a piece, and sometimes it's quite hard to track down and actually record whether or not that information resulted in arrest. But we were able to say there were at least 75 arrests in that month. Actually, I've just written that down. Don't forget, information doesn't always translate into an immediate arrest.
That's right.
Wasn't I smart to write that note to myself? Sometimes a caller gives information that helps give value to an existing investigation, and it could even be the missing link. So there you go, the jigsaw puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely.
In March, we recorded around $690,000 worth of drugs seized, and tens of thousands of dollars worth of property was recovered. So that's proceeds of crime, stolen property, and all that sort of thing.
Fantastic results.
Yeah.
Without you, we wouldn't be able to solve these crimes.
It's definitely, I mean, this is all information that's come through from the community. So it's helping police do their job. It's wonderful. Thank you.
So do you have peaks and troughs? Are there times when you're getting bucket loads of calls, Crime Stoppers, and times when the phones go cold?
The phones rarely go cold as such, but we definitely have peaks and troughs, and sometimes that relates to what's in the media. Which is why we rely so heavily on our media partners, and Joy 94.9 is certainly one of them. I'm sure that people who listen to this show this show results in a peak in calls. Mm-hmm. You know, every time that we have something in the media, we'll get a response from callers or people giving web reports.
Well, Greg alone helps solve few crimes. Hey, he comes in here and sees the crimes and goes outside and says, "That's him."
He's got them notched in his mobile phone. How many notches have you got in the side there?
But look, it's about this is our community, and it's about partnerships. We always stress, really, it's about gay community isn't a silo where we just operate on our own. So if someone does a homophobic assault or something that's related to what impacts our sexuality, that's all we care about. Wrong. If someone bashes a Muslim or is Islamophobic, or someone targets a person from other faith or multicultural backgrounds, or if they just do a robbery down the street, that backyard might be not our backyard, but it could be our backyard tomorrow. So it's a collective responsibility.
Absolutely.
We have. Yeah.
And it's your best friend's backyard and your family's backyard and the community, yeah.
I always think of it as, you know, Victoria Police has a certain number of people on duty at one given time, but apart from us, there's thousands and thousands of people out on the street every day and their eyes and ears as well, and we should be able to use them, and that's what Crime Stoppers is doing. We're utilising everyone else out in the community to give information to help us solve our crime. So everyone's kind of like a little bit of a deputy out there.
I learned from my grandmother. She was a Caulfield lady, and I learned from her about being observant of what goes on in your community. She came home one day from shopping and walked in the lounge room, and there was a bedspread on the lounge room, on the big dining table in the dining room, and in it were bits and pieces and stuff. And she thought, I didn't put that there. And then this man came out from behind the curtains who was in the process of robbing her house. Mm. And she instantly knew his face because she'd recognised him down the street, and then she'd put two and two together and work out who his uncle was, and she was able to say, "You're a very naughty boy, and I'm going to tell your uncle," named him, and the person fled. And it was, you know, an hour or two later, the uncle brought him back to apologise for trying to rob
That's
the house.
Brilliant.
So it's about being observant, I think. It's about knowing your patch, what goes on. And you said before with that previous Crime Stoppers, when something's out of order, doesn't fit in, that's when you really switch on and take note.
Absolutely. I was just going to say, if you see something unusual that doesn't fit in and it might not even look like criminal activity, that's the sort of stuff that we want to hear about, because it might just be that missing piece of information that links all the other stuff that an investigator's got together and it makes sense of a crime so they can find the person.
And, you know, gay men, I don't know about lesbians, perhaps you can include me on this, Gabby, but gay men have this intuitive ability to walk down the street and they'll briefly get eye contact with someone, they'll walk 10 paces, turn around, and the eye contact will be returned. We can use our observation powers for fantastic communications, you know, networking amongst gay community. And something I think that translates well, and we can educate people around when it comes to crime and Crime Stoppers.
I think it doesn't hurt to be a little bit suspicious of people. And being a police officer, we sometimes become a little bit jaded because of the work we do. We often deal with the worst of people. And now I'm more community focused. I'm a much nicer person, but I don't see that side of people as much. You should have seen
we're
me
We're going to take a vote, people. Is Gabby Tiger a much nicer person as a result of doing the
my
game?
My partner would say yes.
I reckon she was always a nice person. I can't imagine her being
so
otherwise.
Too.
But the point is that it doesn't hurt to be a little bit suspicious, especially in your own neighbourhood. You want to protect your own property and your neighbour's properties. So it doesn't hurt to just watch people, keep an eye on what's going on. Suspicious cars are a little bit unusual. Why are they driving so slowly? Why are they parked down on the corner every day at different times of the day? You know, just take observations and send that information through to Crime Stoppers. It doesn't take long to do it. You can do it through your phone. You can do it online or over the phone. So
absolutely,
just pay attention.
There was a case last year where where Crime Stoppers got some information that allowed police to intercept a man in a vehicle, which it turned out he was unlicensed to drive. But then they searched the vehicle and he was charged with possessing a prohibited weapon, trafficking methamphetamines, driving at dangerous speed, dealing in suspected proceeds of crime, and the list goes on. That was just from
fantastic.
One little bit of information.
Yeah. What a good catch.
Now, I want to introduce a new segment today, and if it works well, we're going to do it on a monthly basis. And it's the Joe Baird Information Minute. And I believe you've been doing a little bit of research into an historical character here in Victoria.
Good, you have. We had a little chat about this earlier. So Crime Stoppers Victoria recognised the role that stakeholders play in creating safer Victorian communities. Last week, it was actually Tuesday night, as Gabby mentioned earlier, at a special function that was held at the Sir Redmond Barry Room in Melbourne. So I started thinking, who is Sir Redmond Barry?
Well, can we take a poll just in the studio? Do Greg knows who Sir Redmond Barry is?
I've got some anecdotes I'll share soon.
And Gabby, did you know before
no,
we spoke outside?
No idea.
And I had heard of him, but only because of one particular thing.
Well, Wikipedia, the most reliable source of information, says that Sir Redmond Barry was an Irish colonial judge in Victoria, Australia. In 1880, Lord Justice Barry presided at the final trial of Ned Kelly, who was tried and convicted of murdering three other Victoria police constables. The trial and sentencing have since been the subject of many articles and books.
I want to challenge Wikipedia here. Sorry,
I want
to challenge Wikipedia, because Ned Kelly was never charged with the murder of three police. He was only ever charged with the murder of one police person. So I challenge Wikipedia to a duel.
I'll accept that.
You need to log in and change it, don't you? This is what everyone else does.
I'll just say your information is accepted. Apparently, when he sentenced Kelly to death by hanging, Lord Justice Barry uttered the customary words, "May God have mercy on your soul." And according to the transcripts, Kelly replied, "I'll go a little further than that and say that I will see you there when I go." Drum roll, on the 23rd of November 1880, 12 days after Kelly's execution, Sir Redmond Barry died from what doctors termed as congestion of the lungs and a carbuncle in the neck.
Now, I've just put into the background a bit of a Paul Kelly song, because this song was written because of those words that Ned Kelly uttered. So I'm just going to leave this playing in the background while we continue. You've got some anecdotes.
You know, he's even more significant, because if you go back to the Eureka Stockade, there were 13 individuals that were on trial as a showcase trial against the, you know, for treason or sedition against the state, against the Crown, basically. And Barry was the trial judge at the first point of call. And the then State Attorney General, Colonial Attorney General, mm-hmm. tried to run a showcase trial and knock one off, and defence was able to put it off. Barry allowed evidence to come in, and actually all 13 were acquitted and, you know, were found not guilty. So Barry was he wasn't a hardliner in terms of, you get that image with the Ned Kelly trial mm-hmm. in 1880,
yeah.
but he was actually one that was allowing law to see all the parts of law and allowing evidence, and it was quite an important case. That stopped 13 men going to the gallows in 1853.
Which would have been quite unheard of at the time, I imagine.
Yeah, it was just amazing. They said that the Eureka flag being flown was a flag other than the flag of the state, and therefore it was treacherous to bear arms and fight mm-hmm. for that flag instead of your flag.
So he's well known for his role in the justice system, I guess, but yep. he was also noted for his service to the community. And some examples of that would be that he convinced the state government to spend money on public works, particularly education. He was instrumental in the foundation of the Royal Melbourne Hospital in 1848, the University of Melbourne in 1853.
Which still has the Redmond Barry building.
Still does.
It does.
And the State Library of Victoria, which still has the Sir Redmond Barry reading room.
Yeah. So, and now there's a statue of Sir Redmond Barry somewhere in Melbourne, and Russell Street or Latrobe Street or somewhere like that. If you know out there, I'd really like to...
Yeah, on air at joy.org.au, let us know.
Yeah. So there we go. That is the Victoria Police Community Hour information, one-minute information session
with
on Sir Redmond Barry, yes. So next month you've got the task of another Victorian related to the legal system.
Maybe it could be sort of snippets of information, a snippet in time.
Okay. Now, after this short break...
We heard Paul Anthony's out there listening. Thank you, Paul, for listening to the show. We know Leisha Haley is listening. Thank you too, Leisha. We like to have some regular listeners. You too can listen here every week. And on the third week of the month is Lesbians Matter, which is the women's focus of Victoria Police Community Engagement Show.
The Community Hour.
That's it.
Now, we've got one last crime of the week from Joe.
We do, and it's about an affray in Hoppers Crossing on the 14th of January 2012. It's Crime Article, or CA6086. At about 2:45 a.m. on the 14th of January 2012, two men got involved in an altercation with a group of five men in the car park of a McDonald's restaurant on Morris Road, Hoppers Crossing. The two victims ran inside the restaurant to escape, but were followed by the group, who were now armed with weapons including a meat cleaver, a dumbbell and garden stakes. The group allegedly assaulted both men, leaving one with serious injuries, and smashed a number of windows before leaving the restaurant. The first man, described as having a solid build and was wearing jeans, a white jumper and black shoes. The second man, described as wearing black shorts, a dark blue jumper, white shoes and a blue baseball cap. The third man, also a really clear photo, described as wearing jeans, a purple singlet with a distinctive white motif, white shoes and a grey baseball cap. And the fourth man, described as wearing black pants with a white top underneath and a light blue hoodie. There was a fifth man, described as wearing grey shorts, a dark coloured hoodie and black shoes, and you'll find photos of all of these men who police would like to speak to about the incident on our website at crimestoppers.com.au. Just search for Hoppers Crossing in the search field.
Now, it's men in groups, 2:15 a.m, probably men in groups with alcohol in their system, potentially, and it's that one-upmanship, it's that masculinity, it's that showing their mates who the men are, and someone's a leader, the rest are followers and want to be leaders, and it's appalling. This is one of those ones that we've seen translate to homophobic violence in other parts of Melbourne with groups of men, and this particular incident needs everyone's attention to get down and look at these men.
It absolutely does. If you've got anything to do with the Hoppers Crossing community, if you live in the area, please do go to the website. We've got really clear photos of the men who police would like to speak to. It's a really brazen crime. It must have been terrifying. Like you said, it was at 2:45 a.m. in the morning. Something's just escalated.
To arm themselves with meat cleavers and implements and stuff, that's absolutely appalling. These men have no boundaries and nothing constrains them.
And they're likely a group of friends that might hang out often together, so you would notice them. They're probably not the quiet bunch that sit down and don't make any noise. They're maybe a bit outgoing and loud too, so if they're committing this sort of thing, you'll probably notice them around and about too.
Absolutely, but don't forget, these men haven't been charged. They're just men that police want to speak to about the crime, but we really need the police to get more information.
If we want people to get across to the website, how can they find the pictures of these men?
Yeah, they go to crimestoppers.com.au. That's the national website, so click through to Victoria. There's a search field in the top right-hand corner of the webpage, and you can either type in Hoppers Crossing or 14th of January or the word affray, which is A-F-F-R-A-Y for those who don't know, and this will pop up.
And when you're on the website, you can also help us locate a wanted man. Have you seen Jason Cousins? It's alleged Cousins, who is also known as Jason Willis, was involved in a serious assault in Collingwood in October 2008, and warrants for his arrest have been issued. He's born on the 2nd of November 1980. 1988. He's 160 centimetres tall, with thin build, blue eyes, brown hair and a fair complexion. So help us locate Jason Cousins, alias Willis.
Can I ask you a little question? Do you often do data matching? So, yeah, Jason's got this date of birth. He's wanted for something that's happened in the past. Do you ever do data matching with other agencies to work out whether Jason's popped up under a slightly different name?
The answer to that is top secret.
Ah, top secret. I reckon there's a potential there for another guest for the show. What do you reckon? Do you reckon the Vic Police do data matching with Crime Stoppers? Or perhaps not with Crime Stoppers, but data matching to find out people? What do you think? 0427-JOY949 or onair@joy.org.au.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Now, last night, Gabrielle Tayac, you were seen loitering in the vicinity of High Street, Northcote. What were you up to?
I wasn't loitering. I was trying to get out of the rain so I could surprise the St. Anne Mitchell from Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, who
Saint,
has stood
Saint
down.
St. Anne of GLHV.
She is a saint. She was anointed a saint by the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
She stood down from her role as the CEO of Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, and we were all thanking her for her wonderful work. She had a surprise party and surprise dinner last night.
And it was a true surprise. Sometimes you organise surprise events for people and they walk in and they look like they knew it was coming. Mm-hmm. No, I was standing right on the door as Anne walked in, and there were 60-odd people there in this restaurant, and we all stood up and we gave her a round of applause.
A standing ovation.
And she just stood there staring at me going, Scott Davis, why are you in the restaurant that I'm coming to for dinner with my partner? Gabby Tayac, why are you here? Tony Keenan, why are you here? Bronwyn Pike, why are you here? And it suddenly dawned on her that everyone was here for her.
I suppose the standing up and clapping and cheering probably gave it away a little bit too. Yeah.
It was a really good night. And the wonderful Liam Leonard, who's taking over Anne's role at Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, gave a wonderful speech on the 7 days of the creation of Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. It was a really, really good night and well-deserved for one of the heroes of our community, Anne Mitchell.
If you think about the research that they've driven, points, what do we do research for? Research is so important because it provides the gaps. It tells us where work needs to be done. It actually backs up the work that community groups like AVP and others do. And hopefully one day will lead to governments recognising organisations far broader than GLHV.
It's also about the resources that GLHV, Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, have produced as well. And there's a range of resources for the health industry and for government and non-government agencies about making sure that your particular service is GLBTI friendly. There's some great resources that Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria have got. glhv.org.au, if you want to have a look at the resources, they've got a wonderful clearinghouse site.
And it provides the stats that we so often need that people can use, like the police and the government, to help change laws, and that their research they've done over the years have had an impact where laws have been changed because of what they've done.
So good on the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society for being part of that equation and allowing Anne to take on the directorship of Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. It was an insightful range of activities that led to her being there with the establishment of that unit and the work that's come from it. And the building of the capacity, the Liam Leonards, the Ros Wards, the other staff that are around
Her.
Catherine Barrett, brilliant people. If you haven't found out more about that, get down and check out Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria. You just Google that, you'll find it.
glhv.org.au.
Great resource. And they've got a little hub where you can find out lots of different information through them.
So again, I guess we all from the studio and everyone at Joy and Victoria Police say thank you to Anne Mitchell for
the work
that she's done.
Can I just say one last thing that she did is her and I wrote the 4-day Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer course for Victoria Police, and she was instrumental in getting that off the ground.
And the feedback from that course, and police do a lot of courses over their careers, the feedback was that that's one of the best courses or the best course they've ever done.
Yep. So kudos to Anne Mitchell, St. Anne of GLHV.
Who's retired, but I'm sure she's still going to be around and people will see her and we'll be able to interact with her.
You are listening to Joy 94.9. It's the Victoria Police Community Hour. New name, new sound.
Well, new sound, new voices. Well, new voices. Great voices. Scott Davis on the panel. Gabby Tayac, Northwest Glow, coming all the way down from the Northwest to be here today. Joe Baird, Crime Stoppers. The delightful Joe Baird and Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project.
Joe, thanks very much for being here again this month. We'll see you again next month, I take it?
Yeah, and it's always my pleasure. It's always an honour to be here, so thank you.
It's an honour
giving
to
me
have
the
you.
Opportunity. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, Gab, you are sunning yourself in rainy Sydney next week, I believe.
Yes, I think I am. No, it's the week after.
Is it?
Yeah.
So what's happening next week then?
Well, I think next week we've got Pete Jarvis, who's the Crime Prevention Officer, and Glow from Moorabbin. Now, he's working on a project down that way.
With local government, yeah.
With local government. And he wants to come in with some people from local government to talk about what he's doing and what they're doing together. So we'll leave that a little bit of a secret for now, but it's very exciting stuff.
Yes.
And coming up also next week, you know, Joy's teaming up with Neil Mitchell, which I think is very exciting.
It is. That's coming up. Oh, I'm
next Thursday.
Thursday next week. Yeah, Thursday next week, which will be a very interesting show indeed.
And from AVP side, we've just had our first communication from the new AVP worker in Sydney.
Oh.
So we're rearranging how we can interact together, particularly down the Albury-Wodonga area and down the border area between our two states. So that'll be fun. And also next year is the Health and Difference Conference, which will be coming to Melbourne. So keep your front of the back of your mind tuned into that for more information. The front of the back of your mind, because there's going to be some great stuff around policing, around violence, around homophobia that fits in amongst the health of gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgenders and intersex people.
And don't forget May 17 is International Day Against Homophobia, so get ready for that. Try and think of what you can do for that day.
And let us know. Yeah.
Now, if you want to contact us during the week, you can contact us at glow@joy.org.au. That's glow@joy.org.au. We look forward to hearing you next week.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.